Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today here on this March the 5th. Dr. Dave Stoop. Hey, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
Author of Just Us. That's a wonderful devotional. You and Jan working on anything else right now?
Well, we've got something out there where we're looking at the Old Testament characters and bringing in all the Jewish stories that are attached to them. And
they are characters.
Oh, they are.
Dave and I are the co-editors of the Life Recovery Bible, and we're starting New Life groups everywhere using the workbook, using the Bible. 1.5 million Life Recovery Bibles have sold, meaning that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that it is a Bible that can help you. Milan Yurkovich, he and his wife, How We Love is the book. And they've got a new book coming out, How We Love as Parents. And then after that, How We Love Intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know how to love, they're the ones. Now, I'm going to go right to the phones and talk with Jill from Chicago, Illinois. There we go. Jill, how are you? W-Y-L-L.
Hello,
hey.
I'm fine, and I want to tell you I'm a New Life Club member.
Yay, thank you.
And so I'm glad I can finally come to you for my resource.
Thank you.
We're glad to be here.
That's great.
How can we help you?
Well, my husband and I have been married for 20 years, and mm-hmm. we became Christians at a very young age, and we were virgins when we got married, and I couldn't wait to have sex.
Okay.
And I'm struggling because I'm the one who has a high libido, and he mm-hmm. has a very low drive. He's a wonderful godly man, but he's just not very interested.
Okay.
And I've been waiting all these years for something to change.
Yeah.
And
how old
hasn't.
Did you say he was?
51.
He's 51. All right. And has this been the way he has been most of his life?
Or? Yeah. Well, since we've been on our honeymoon, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And has he ever thought about maybe visiting a physician and seeing if this lower libido thing might be a physiological issue?
Well, we've talked about it, and that was one of my questions, if you think that he should have his testosterone checked. And,
why not?
And mine as well, because I'll go to these Bible studies, and there's these women that say, my husband wants it all the time, and I have to leave, Steve, because I am so desiring.
Well, now you know how 90% of the men in the world feel. So anyway, but here's the thing. You're not going to lose anything by him saying, okay, I'll go have it checked, and... Also, I think some of the medications like Viagra and things like that, they don't increase...
He's on that already mm-hmm. because he's
okay.
a prostate cancer survivor,
oh,
but this
okay.
problem mm-hmm. was just, you know, for 20 yeah. years. That just okay. happened.
All right, now, and then I have one other thing, and I'll turn it over to these guys. But then the other thing is to be sure that he knows that you believe... that intimacy does not necessarily involve intercourse every time,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
that the you know you guys can be together, and mm-hmm. it can be a very non-pressure situation,
right?
Because you both are just wanting to be together, and sometimes a man needs to be reminded of that.
Okay.
Because a lot of people they have wonderful, intimate lives, but they're not intercourse lives.
Well, we are. We are very intimate. We are best friends.
Okay.
But
well, I'm
like,
talking
come
about,
on, could,
I'm
could
talking
we have a little
about,
firecrackers
no.
here?
But I'm talking about sometimes the interest The sexual interest grows when the focus is off of
when the pressure's
intercourse.
Off.
See?
Pressure's off.
Yeah, pressure's off. All right. I'm glad you called. Hold on. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Jill, are you still there?
Why you gotta understand?
Oh, Jill, are you still there?
I'm wondering, are there things that men are not intimidated by that a woman might bring, you know, to the bedroom?
Hey, Jill.
Nothing.
Yeah, Mylan wants to throw you a curveball, he said. So let's see what kind of pitcher he is today.
Okay.
Jill, some people, females and males, who in our book we describe as the vacillator, confuse libido with sexual intimacy and intensity of desire to be very, very close and to be seen and to be truly romanticized. And so it's not just libido. It's your libido is higher, but it could also be a desire to be close. And sometimes people use sex as a means to get close, and that's why it's so important to them. They want to feel close to this person. And in that way of feeling close, they end up overwhelming the other person to the point that the other person feels like they can't keep up with this intensity. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that could have some bearing upon this.
I'll ask him, but you know, I call him like my girlfriend and my boyfriend. I mean, he's not effeminate, but he loves to decorate the home and talk about that. He loves to go to tea. We talk about kids. We talk about politics. He is so, what's the word, endogenous in that way?
Jill.
Go ahead.
You're not answering my question about you. Do you use sex to create emotional closeness with your husband? And that may be one reason why your libido seems higher. I'm just asking a question.
I don't think so, but what I do think is that I did not feel desired by my dad because he was an alcoholic. And it's all, for me, it's not about the sex, it's not about intercourse, it's about feeling desired.
This is what I just said. It's
that's
about
the same thing.
That's the
ding,
same thing.
Ding, ding,
it's,
ding.
It's about the feeling it's about the feeling close, because you're right. God bless you, and that's a great
feeling
insight.
Feeling desired is feeling close.
Feeling desired is feeling close. And now you're saying, now you're putting your finger on it. Ah, my dad didn't desire me. My dad didn't feel close. Oh, so I crave closeness. I crave to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. You see, that's the discussion here. Not it, libido may be a part of it, but this is, you hit it right here. Mm-hmm. This is it.
Okay, so what do I do?
Okay. Dave, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to give you some good news. Research shows that differences in libido and differences sexually have no bearing on issues in a marriage, negative consequences in a marriage. So you're dealing with something that is common. It's not always common in the direction that you're talking about, but it's common. And the solution to it is talking about it. See? And so what Mylan is saying to you is you guys need to have this conversation on not libido, but closeness, and what allows you to feel close. And you said it's being noticed. And so those are things that
desired.
Being desired was the word you used. That's right. And so those are the things that you guys need to talk about. And as you talk about that, and he makes some adjustments in his behavior so that you feel noticed and desired and appreciated in very concrete ways, this whole thing may just be, you know, stop being an issue between you.
Yeah. Okay. I think the most important thing said is talk. You know, whatever it is.
Well,
you,
it's but about be, the right, she says we chit-chat like
yeah,
girlfriends.
Yeah. No, this,
but
though.
But it is about
it's
this
like the
right
here. Subject, yeah. And see, yeah. Sex is a form of communication, and if I'm not communicating sexually, then I need to communicate about sexual yeah. issues. And she's, they, the problem is they have defined the sexual issue as a libido issue. You hit the nail right on the head, Mylan.
It's low
issue.
Over here, which is very threatening to a man, very off-putting if
feels
the
like a failure.
Diagnosis is this thing over here is low, where in reality the need and the demand
right.
is related is to more things and well, way too high.
But right. I'm asking for something that is I think is connected to what I want, but probably isn't connected to what I want
yeah.
because what I want is that desired.
That's right. That's exactly right. This yeah. And she said right at the very end, you know, it's less about the sex, it's more about the closeness.
Yeah.
And in our book, How We Love Sexually, we talk about this because vacillators want connection all the time and they want to feel intensity.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we were doing psychological research on this the other night watching The Bachelor. And so, and you see the intensity without any reality wrapped into this show, mm-hmm. you know, it and the intensity is mistaken yeah. for intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Bachelor. Emphasis on lore. Because uh-huh. there's not a lot of reality. A
lot of folklore.
Oh, nice point.
Okay, thank you.
Nice point.
All right. You know, yesterday,
yeah. stuck up on you,
I celebrated my fifth anniversary.
That's right. And, 3, 4, 5.
Yep. And just to be with someone where you can talk mm-hmm. about everything,
mm-hmm.
It just makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Where you can say, wow, I feel like you've got a greater need than me. Or, mm-hmm. wow, if you can say stuff out loud, no matter what, it sure does make,
but, you know,
make a difference.
I'm so glad
you're
she
right.
called because
this is a great call.
You can talk about things,
mm-hmm.
but you never talk about the real thing
yeah.
because you haven't got your finger
right.
on the real thing.
Right.
And that's where finding somebody to help you, a counselor, can really make a difference.
Yeah. Let's talk to Rob. How's that airplane going there, Rob?
That would be a big one going over McCarran Airport.
How you doing? What's going on?
Y'all have a great show. I've been listening for years, and
Thank you.
Called in one time about 2 years ago. My wife left, deserted, abandoned me about 3 months ago, as she did a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Came back together. She had a little counseling, but it was ancillary. And now she's away again. She left on November 6th, and just completely cut me off. Changed her phone number, and I don't know how to get a hold of her. I'm not sure where she's at. You know, her parents are putting her... paying for her stuff. She had went to our pastor once, and you know, I've had counseling for the last 3 months, so I'm good as far as myself with what is. But I'm just not exactly sure. She called last Sunday and said that God wrote on her heart to call me and say that there's a divorce paper she's going to be sending. And I think I surprised her. I think she was looking for justification. And I said, well, that's not necessary. I don't think we need to divorce. And she said, with what I did to you, how can you feel that way? And I told her, I loved her. I love her, and I forgive her, and we can work this out. And I told her I've been going to counseling. And then I asked her if we can meet, and I think that was a little too intense. She hung up the phone. But she's, from what I understand, after reading several books, she's a bipolar, but she's also borderline personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fun.
Okay, so the question for us would be what?
I'm very biblically sound. I don't think that a divorce is necessary. She's not even up for counseling. She had basically went to the...
All right, but you got to give us a question here.
I guess I need to be patient as far as what it is, and I can't force her to counseling, and I can't get a hold of her. I guess my question is, what do I do? I need to wait for her to come around, or she seems pretty adamant about wanting a divorce, but it's like going to the end, and we haven't even tried to do things up to that
mm-hmm.
point, and I can't even really get a hold of her, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So...
And there's no abuse issue.
Okay, so...
There's no...
How I'm having a hard time figuring out how we can help you.
I guess I just need to be patient. As far as that, I'm in limbo. I'm literally.
Rob, what relationship number are you?
Oh, with her?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, she's been married once before, but there was a couple of men in between, and I've been married one time before for years, and my first wife died, and then married her, and I didn't really get to know her a whole great deal. And,
right. So what happened? Rob, what happened here is that you married a serial relationship person.
Oh, boy.
They go all bad on you. They do this good-bad split thingy. Which is really serious, and they go all bad on themselves and others. And it was even, she couldn't accept your grace to say, well, I love you, I don't want a divorce. And she, but how could you? After what I've done to you, how could you accept me? You see, she's all bad even to herself in her own mind. So, you know, this is what you're dealing with, and this is not an easy thing to overcome. Dave?
No, you did a great job, Rob, on the phone with her, and you kind of threw her a curveball to where it wasn't what she expected from you. And I think what you do is you stay the course. You keep doing what you're doing, working on yourself, and wait and see what she does, because, you know, she's got to be chewing over what you said. Because, as Mylan says, it doesn't fit, you know, her understanding of how things have happened, and wait for the next call. But don't sit around waiting. Just keep working on you and growing and understanding what there is that's brought you into that relationship, because it sounds like it's totally different from what your marriage to your deceased wife was like. Hmm.
This is why I'm a big proponent of lots of good premarital counseling, not just 6 weeks, some very good premarital counseling, and then people who perform marriages who really know how to ask these kinds of questions. What are we putting together here?
Mm-hmm. You know how you're always talking about books that you're writing and the research you're doing?
Yep.
Like watching The Bachelor and stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this book I'm just finishing up is called Datewise. Dates Before I Do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the 10 date segments is you need to have 10 holidays. In other words, you need to go through every holiday with the person.
A whole year. Mm-hmm.
In other words, a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then another set of 10 dates is 10 dates with a premarriage counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say this. If you can't pull off those two sets of 10 dates, you need to not marry.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great.
You say, oh, wait, but they're going to the military, or they're going into jail. I got to marry him before he goes in the penitentiary. You know, you need to at least be able to be with that person a year, and you need about 10 different marriage counseling sessions, premarriage counseling sessions,
and pastors who require that premarital counseling session before they marry somebody are men who and women who should be honored, because that's a good place for that to.
Yeah. Because nobody seems to have done anything, created anything, a program, a book, or anything that has impacted the divorce rate, because people will read a nice book, and then they'll obey their urge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll think, oh, that's good, I like that concept, and then the urge comes, and that's who their boss is,
mm-hmm.
The urge. All right.
People, I heard this years ago. People will change their beliefs to fit their behavior rather than change their behavior to fit their beliefs.
Exactly.
Which is too bad.
So. All right. Let's go to Bill, Cincinnati, Ohio, WCVX. Hey, Bill.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I thank you for taking my call. I'm in a dilemma. I just recently divorced in last November, several months ago.
Mm-hmm.
My wife left me for a homeless guy I called you in before.
Okay.
I'm not going to cry this time.
All right.
Okay. I'm in a dilemma because I feel sorry for her because I think she's had, like, nervous breakdown and stuff like that. I promised her because I felt sorry for her, and I still love her, but not to charge her child support. And I feel like I'm being used. If you look at the amount of time she spends with the kids, I got sole custody.
Right.
I feel like going back on my word, but I'm not a liar, you know.
Hey, you can change your mind on child support.
Please?
You can change your mind on that stuff, you know. It's okay.
I mean, it's in the decree, but because she's always had money problems, I never tried to rescue her. I've just been sending the money back for the last several months, and I feel like you hear about different places she goes and stuff like that, and I thought, well, am I enabling her, or should I just give her a short period of time and tell her I'm not going to do it anymore, but I've been obsessing over this.
Okay. Well, what do you guys think? I mean, this is a really sad situation and a sad guy. And
I think that you can go back and change your mind on that. I think that's legitimate.
Yep.
Whether you'll ever get anything or not is irrelevant. You're making a statement to her about what she's doing with her money and what she's not doing with her kids is what it sounds like to me.
Well, he said he's sending it back to her, so he's getting it. So I'm saying, you know, if you have sole support, sole custody, take it, because, you know, you need to do everything you can to compensate for the absent mom, and that's going to involve babysitters and all kinds of things. I would receive the money.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. Your phone calls. Thanks for all of you who support this ministry. We can't do it without you, and we're so grateful when it happens. We'll take a break and come right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Now, we need to help just finish up here with Bill.
Yes.
And we're saying you can change your mind, you can go for the child support.
But keep the kids. Don't send them back.
Yeah. Be responsible.
Keep the kids.
Keep the kids.
But you don't know what? Don't expect. It's more a statement. Because you may not ever get anything if she's irresponsible with money and she's taking care of this homeless guy.
Well, he said, am I enabling? And that's a great question. When do we enable another person's behavior that is irresponsible? And that's what the whole issue of Al-Anon is all about, what people go to Al-Anon and codependent behavior is all about.
Yeah. So what could we send, Bill, just to help him get through?
Regret-free.
How about regret-free living and boundaries?
Yeah.
Both of
good.
Those. I'm going to send those. Mm-hmm. By the way, I was with this Dr. McLeod, who is head of the Campus Crusade Ministries there for the Ivy League schools. I mean, Harvard is their territory. Mm. So, in other words, they're foreign missionaries. And they're and he, you know, I was just talking to him about
that was very funny.
Yeah, evangelism and stuff. And he said, you know, it's hard for people to believe before they belong.
Mm. Oh, definitely.
So, now, that is just a very, very wise thing.
Flush that out for me.
Well, when you're connected to other people, then it's easier for you to accept who they're connected to, God.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about God in their life, what's going on, and their doubts or their accomplishments or their faith. And if you don't have that, then it's very difficult to wake up one morning and say, okay, I believe in God, and then to maintain that. And I said, yeah, and you know the transverse of that is when you stop belonging, it is very difficult to continue to believe and have the faith that you had when you were all connected.
Or you start belonging to a different group that doesn't believe.
Right.
You tend to go along with that. Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that
that's
was
important.
A really wise thing he said.
Churches need to understand that.
Yeah.
And that there has to be ways for people to become connected to other people, to become connected to the church.
That's why we're so big on this starting groups in churches, whether it's healing as a choice or boundaries or, you know, whatever the group is, life recovery groups. It helps people figure out a way to ask folks to come belong to something, and then maybe it helps them in believing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump over here and talk to Sarah from Columbus, Ohio. WJHE is the station. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you today?
Well, I have a daughter that has been married for 2.5 years, and just before Thanksgiving, 2 days before, she came to me and told me that she was not in love with my son-in-law, nor had she ever been.
Okay.
And she said that the only reason that she ever married him was because she knew that her father and I really loved him.
Okay, well, that's pretty tough to hear, isn't it?
Good.
So, well, how could we help you on that?
Well, I'm just worried now because my son-in-law he wasn't saved before they started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to cry all the time and say, Mom, I can't get him to go to church with me. And I said, well, let's just keep praying. You know, just keep praying. And then one Sunday he went, and then he went the next Sunday, and he kept going, and then he gave his heart to the Lord.
Okay.
And since then, he started reading his Bible. We thought there were no other couple as happy as them. They got married. We paid $10,000 for a wedding.
Okay. So what is the big question here for us? How could we help?
My question is, what do I do to help my son-in-law? Because now I think that he feels he gave his heart to the Lord. He did everything that she wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. And now his life has totally, she is nothing like what he thought she could be.
Okay, Dave's got some insight.
Hey,
for
Sarah, you.
You
need to work on your daughter. And what I would tell her if I was sitting with her in my office would be, so you don't love him anymore, what difference does that make? See, love isn't an absolute necessary ingredient for a good, solid, happy, enjoyable marriage.
Well, I think I should tell you, too, that someone else came into the picture.
With her?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's because she allowed it.
That's a whole other story then. Yeah. See, so she allowed somebody else to come in, and she's got some real issues in. And so I think you got to work with your daughter and realize that, you know, because, see, love comes and goes. You've been married a long time. You know that. There are times when you don't feel loving towards your mate, but you made a commitment. And you behave in loving ways, and when you behave in loving ways, the feelings of love always come back. But she has now stepped outside, so that's justifying what she does. And what she said to you, I never loved him, that is classic. Everybody that gets involved with somebody else looks back at their marriage and says, oh, I never loved him, I never loved her, because that's how they distort reality to justify what they're doing. And that's the issue you got to deal with. You got to work with your daughter to get her back on track spiritually.
Okay, I just feel the devil is just taking his way with her.
Oh, he is, and that's who you confront, and then you just reassure the husband and just say, we're here for you and we're praying for you and supporting you, and get some support from your church. But you gotta hold your daughter accountable, and I think that's one of the things we do as parents of adult children, is that when they get off track, we confront them and let them know. You don't beat them up, but you let her know, hey, I don't buy this, I don't love him, never loved him stuff. You've got yourself on a very, very dangerous path with this other interest that you've got. You got to get off of that.
Boy, if she could play that movie, what that movie looks like going forward, she would be right back with the husband in a second.
Well, it'll happen again.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Mylon Yurkovich. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio. Larry, how are you today?
Steve, doing great, thanks. Hope you are too.
Yes, I am. What do you have for us?
I've got a testimony from an Every Man's Battle attendee, and I can't encourage guys any other way I know or any way better than to read a testimony from someone to help guys with all their anxiety, hesitations, reasons not to go, to overcome it and come. So here we go. Harry wrote, I attended hopeful but extremely apprehensive, knowing that this workshop wasn't going to fix this as much as I wanted that. I've spent most of my adult life addicted to pornography, and I had no idea I was addicted. During the second time I attempted to blow up my life, I realized that the only way to attempt to repair myself was to go to the workshop. It was very difficult, hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I knew that if I ever wanted to have a life again, I needed to focus and stay engaged. I found that there are more men with the same issues and problems that don't know how to repair the damage that they've done. I now have a group of like-minded men that I'm accountable to and will support me. So,
wow. That's worth a lot to have those like-minded men that will support me.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for considering that. We are really appreciative of everybody who's been given.
All right. Let's go to Claire from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, W-O-R-D. How are you?
Hi, okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I'm living in extraordinary pain and grief and fear. I'm 60 years old, and I've been abused my whole life by my grandparents and parents, my husband. My husband deserted me with three small children. We barely could stay alive. We had no support system at all, and he promised me he would spend his life destroying me and trying to take my children away from me and get them to hate me, which
that's horrible.
He has done.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's gone through all of my grandchildren. I mean, it's as my grandchildren are little, they love us, love me to death. And when they as they get older, they come under his influence, and he turns them against me. And so now, for like now, I'm watching the fifth generation of this behavior.
Okay.
This last summer, my granddaughter, who just turned 20, wrote the "I hate you. I see you're the only problem in the world. I'm going to spend the rest of my life punishing me. You'll have the rest of your life to regret it." And I've got letters like this from my children for the last 20, 25 years. And at this point, no matter what they've done, I've always given them gifts, sent them notes, tried to keep in touch, remember all the special days. And this Christmas, the pain of watching this go now through another generation of people that I've loved, it's like I give up.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
And for the first time in 35 or 40 years,
all right.
I haven't sent presents at Christmas.
Okay,
I've
so tell us how we could help you here.
I don't know. I feel like it was wrong not to send gifts at Christmas, but I don't. I've loved and loved and loved through generations and generations, and it's like, for what? To just lose them all in the end. And I have no support system at all. I have no family. I have no friends. I mean, this
okay. Let us see if we can help you here.
Well, that's the problem, Claire, is you have no support system. And what God does, you know, Psalm 68 says that he puts the those who are lonely into families. He creates families for them. And you have been pushing you're like Sisyphus pushing that rock up the hill every day, and you get just close to the top, and then he turns them against you and it rolls back down, and you've got to go to another hill and a different and forget the rocks and get into a support system where you start to build a new family around you from the church. That's about the only thing you can do. You know, I keep thinking of the ram that keeps ramming his head against the wall, you know, and you keep ramming your head against that wall, against something that you've not been able to stop in a generational pattern, and you need to get out of that system. But do it, you know, I wouldn't stop sending cards, loving things, but not gifts. I would just send cards.
Claire, you interpret everything you do as only loving.
Yeah.
And yet there's something wrong here, obviously. And what I'm trying to figure out is, if you were to say there is one universal complaint that you're hearing from everybody, and you were to be really honest and try to acknowledge the truth of it, what is it? What would it be? What would be the one?
I don't hear a complaint. I just hear, "You're the most awful thing in the world."
But why? What?
They don't give a reason.
What's your ex say? Why did he say he's going to ruin your life?
He said he just didn't want to be married, didn't want the responsibility anymore.
But then he went on to say that I'm going to ruin you. Why did he say that?
Because he wanted me to die.
He didn't
want to look like a bad guy when he left. He wanted to kill me. He told me he would kill me if he knew he could get away with it.
Okay, now Claire,
he spent years trying to destroy me emotionally.
Okay, so Claire, there's a reason for that. Either he's really, really bad, and you picked somebody who was pathologic.
I think that's true.
Okay.
I do.
Or there's something that you're doing that every generation keeps seeing and they're reacting to? And I don't know the answer, Claire. I really don't. But I'm trying to ask, is there a part that Claire plays? Certainly what I'm hearing from you is these people are victimizing you, and you are the victim, and they are the ones that are harming you. And some people don't and never know how to rise up out of a victim role.
Yes, I know.
And so what Dave is saying is we have to take a different tack here. We have to get ourselves in, you have to get yourself in a position where you begin to do what Jesus did. These are my mothers and brothers and sisters, these people over here who do the will of God. And it may be that you're looking for love in all the wrong places, you see.
Yeah.
And if this family is very toxic, and if there is a lot of pain in this family, maybe you don't, you know, maybe you do need to pull away from it and find a group of people that will love and support you and help you not walk into this place anymore.
But, I, you know, one of the things I would not stop sending cards, thoughtful cards, loving cards to grandchildren on their birthdays and other occasions. But I would give up wanting anything from anybody in your biological family. And you would get out there and start to build a network of women around you. And you'll find out in that network of women what it is that, you know, if you've got some honest women there who will say to you, you know, Claire, I see you doing this, and maybe that's something that you've got to become more aware of, you know. And they do it in a loving way because they don't have the history. And but you just need to, you need to take God at his word that he's going to put you in a new family, and he's going to bring those people into your life. And you pray for it, and you look for it, and you ask help in finding it. You talk to your pastor about it, and you give up on getting anything from your
family. So when it comes to the family, it's all give. Don't stop giving.
But don't expect.
But no expectation. And then when it comes to your own life, you need to develop a network where you can receive. And if you do that, if you continue to give, feel good about your gifts, don't expect anything back, then you get good input into you, good fertilizer, you're going to be okay.
I would suspect, though, Claire, that as a child, you probably also did not get a lot of giving into your life.
No.
See? So this is all you've ever known. And that's the sad part about this. That's why most desperately you need a new church family that cannot see you through the lens of how your family's perceived you. But you need a new lens with which to perceive yourself in community, because you can you've never felt love, you've never felt closeness, protection, and grace.
And you don't pollute that new community by talking constantly about the old community.
There you go.
You know, you may say...
And you're exactly right. And see, that's... How do you... I mean, if your need is so great and there's nothing and no one in your life, how do you not bring that to anything you go into?
Well, you don't. What I would do in a group of women is say, you know, and they say, well, why are you so lonely? I say, well, my ex has really turned all of my family against me, and I don't even know why. And you know, but I'm here because I believe God's promise that he's going to create a new family for me, new people who will accept me for who I am, and that's why I'm here. That's as far as I would go with it. And then you deal with what's going on today and what's going on tomorrow. You don't go back over the history, because you can turn people off with the history.
Well, and you can turn people off by continuing to be needy.
Yes.
You see, neediness is, it creates contemptuousness. People contempt people who are weak and needy. They don't like them. History, society has never liked...
Continually needy.
Right, who are continually needy. And we push people away who are like that. And so you said you're anxious at the beginning of the call. So typically anxious people are people who create something to a dynamic.
Yeah, and you know... Clara, I wish you could get to a New Life Weekend, because that would be an incredible place to begin that process.
Yeah, sure would.
And we hope you'll stay on the line, and we can give you some more information on that. And maybe there's somebody who will help get you there so that it's possible for you to be there. There's no excuse.
Yep. All right. We'll take a break. Come back right after this for New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. So glad that you've been with us today here. with Mylon Yurkovich, author of How We Love, Dave Stoop, Just Us. And I want to jump over here to Jim, Orlando, Florida, WTLN. He's our final caller today, and sorry we couldn't get to the other folks there. But Jim from Orlando, how you doing there?
Doing good. Good afternoon.
Certainly. What's going on in your life that maybe there's somehow, some way we could help you with it?
Well, I need some biblical advice. I have a question about divorce and remarriage.
Don't do it. Okay. What else do you need to know?
That's what I've been reading in the scripture, and I just need somebody to set me straight.
Okay. What's going on that you need to ask that question?
Well, I'm married, a 30-year marriage that, you know, the last few years hadn't been all that great.
30-year marriage, okay.
But I thought a little bit about divorce, but I never followed through or got that serious about it. And a few months ago, a girlfriend from over 30 years ago came into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one that, you know, I never really lost interest in, but...
Uh-huh.
And we've been talking and messaging and so forth, and she's really interested in trying to get back together.
How did she come back into your life? That's what I want to know. How'd she find you?
She looked me up on the internet.
Okay. So she Googled Jim in Orlando or something.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And
all right.
Sent me a message, you know, hi, how are you? And I've responded. And
right.
Then the messages started getting a little more intense as time went by. And then,
sure.
So this isn't
a question then about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What it's a question about is coveting. What it's a question about is coveting your neighbor's wife. What it is,
yeah.
it's about taking your eyes off the ball. And what does the Bible say about taking your eyes off the ball?
Yeah, that's not appropriate.
Okay, and there's so many times it's hard for us to give a very specific answer. There are a lot of ifs and ands and buts about it. But here's the reality. You're really doing something very wrong, and so is mm-hmm. this other person. So where do we start in finding a solution to your dilemma? We start with doing something right versus wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to ask yourself, is the reason that my 30-year marriage has not been great is because I never really lost interest in this other person? Because when we marry, we're essentially saying, I now agree to lose interest in
every other person.
Mm-hmm. And so I would say, boy, this has shown me just how minimally I've been in this marriage. I'm sorry I got involved with you, got you involved. It's wrong. I am now going full force to work on my marriage. You get your wife and you to a new life weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you need to do. Now, that isn't what you want to hear. I think you called because you were hoping there was some crack in the...
There's no crack in this one.
Yeah, in the wall there. This would be okay or something. But it isn't. And it's just horrible when you go through a divorce and put somebody through it.
I know. I mean, I've been reading the Bible and Scripture.
Okay, so why is there a question about this?
I don't. Yeah, it just keeps eating at me. I know it.
You know what? You know what?
Do.
It's not eating at you. You're feeding it.
You're playing with it.
You're feeding
Jim.
The dragon.
That is really good. Yeah,
so you stop feeding that dragon, and it's not going to be eating at you.
You got to do the next right thing. And the next right thing is to tell this other person, hey, it was wrong for us to reconnect.
That's right.
And I am putting an end to it. I've got to work on my marriage. And then you get you and your wife into a counseling session and find out what's been going on that gave you the feeling that you could do this. Now, that's only if you want to do, you know, be obedient to what God says. If you don't want to be obedient, you want to just kind of in your face God. I mean, that's risky, but that's the other path. So you're kind of, you know, I'm amazed as I go through Psalms at how it's always the dichotomy. There's the wicked and the godly. And I think that's what life is like. There's those who seek wisdom and seek to do what wisdom says. Those are the godly. And there's those who are playing around with mischief, and those are what Solomon called the wicked.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in that camp.
No, and there's a predictable pattern here where you divorce, the two of you get together because you always really care for each other, and then a little bit later you wake up and realize, oh, we're not in high school anymore. Oh, this is different. Oh, she isn't that same person. Oh, I idealized everything. I didn't remember there was a person attached to that memory
right.
that I could mm-hmm. not forget. That night at the lake or whatever, there was a person, and that person is full of difficulty. And you got to ask yourself, what kind of ego do you have that thinks this person would be unfaithful to their spouse but be faithful to you? What do you think that you have that no other human being does that you think, well, I'll be the exception?
I wish, you know, you always think you're the exception.
Yeah.
And you're not. And nope. Because I've talked with couples afterwards, and they say, you know, we don't trust each other because we had a bad beginning.
Well, and the bad beginning is they each reinforce each other's bad marriage. They mm-hmm. say, you know, that's too bad that you have to go through that. It's so bad that your marriage is dry.
So you build a relationship based on a bad past.
You do. You organize around these two people you're rejecting.
And then, expect something good to come out of that.
Then you say to yourself, you know what? We really started this thing in the wrong way.
Do you know how to make Most Amazing?
So I need to get out of this one because it was never right.
Yeah. Do you know how to get on TV in Most Amazing videos?
How?
Go to a zoo and sit next to the cage.
Sit next to the cage.
People do. They'll go sit next to the cage. All of a sudden, the animal reaches through. The closer you get, and they grab him, mm-hmm. and you see these Most Amazing videos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's doing that. He's sitting right next to the cage.
Yeah.
He's getting grabbed by this girl. And, you know, he's going, oh, help, what do I do about all this?
He's grabbed by lust.
Yeah, but he's putting himself mm-hmm. in a position of
to being grabbed that way.
So what does Paul tell Timothy? Flee. Youthful lust. Run away from him. There's our scripture for the day.
Okay. When you don't flee, God is ticked. That's what I say. 1-800.
And you don't want to tick God off.
Yeah, no. 1-800.
Not like that.
New Life. That's the number to call if you need some help. The New Life Weekends, you know, every one of these phone calls, if you could find a way, if you can't afford it, call. See if there is some kind of scholarship. But we want to help you. And if you can support someone, maybe you've been through this or every man's battle, you could help them. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know the scripture that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to work with him, though. You know, you got to stay in
that
there.
That doesn't happen passively.
And work out your salvation in fear and trembling.
Right. Those who persevere to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is a persevering and there's a preserving of your faith that we all need to be involved with. We can't just be reckless in our faith and expect it's going to all work out. So many of you might have been listening and thinking, well, maybe there is a clause for this guy who wants out of this horrible marriage. But there really isn't.
Not in the Bible.
And when you have gone through divorce, you really see the pain, the struggle, the agony. And, of course, these two guys, they've watched it parade through their counseling offices, and they've seen the struggle. And, you know, part of the problem is the idealization of the divorce itself, thinking that's going to solve my problem. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. Hard work does. Commitment does. Taking a second look at myself, those are the things that work. If you are struggling, please call us. And if you can support us, call us also. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE for both numbers. We love you. We care about you. And we love getting to be here. This is the only counseling some people ever get. They hear us talking to someone else. They apply it to their own lives. And because of expenses or locale, they can't get to counseling. And so come help us. Be part of that. Be a support of that. And when you hear people getting well, then you can say, hey, you know what? To some degree, I was part of that person changing. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you,
Stu.
Steve.
And blessings to all of you. Hope this is going to be a great, great March going into spring here. First of the month's always a great time for a new beginning and a new life. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.